Okay, let's say a word of prayer. Now remember, when we pray, God listens to us. He hears us. Isn't that so cool? Every time we pray, the God of the universe, who made all the stars, is always listening to us. And that's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing, because God is always listening. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for today. God, I thank you for your great love that you have for us. God, I pray you'll help all of these kids and all of these adults to know you more and more and to live for you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the new creation, but we got to do a little bit of review for you guys, but especially for all the adults out there, right? Right? Right. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about it. Let's do a little bit of review. Remember when God created the world, he created everything in how many days? Six. You're right, because on the seventh day, God rested. He didn't rest because he was tired. It wasn't like he's like, oh, it was so hard. No, right? He was giving us an example that we need to rest and that we need to set aside time to worship God. So remember, everything was perfect, right? And we don't know how long everything was perfect before Adam and Eve sinned against God, right? God said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they did. Eve was deceived. She ate. She gave to her husband, Adam, who was with her, and sin entered the world, and they realized that they had sinned, and so they were full of shame. And when God asked them where they were at, they were hiding. And there was curses because of sin, right? But in the midst of the curse, God had a promise, right? What was his promise? Remember his promise? Go ahead, Melanie. Close. That's really close, okay? He said, one day, there's going to be someone born of the woman who's going to crush the serpent's head. Who's the serpent, right? Satan, right? Even though the serpent's going to crush his heel, that in that, you mean like that's where snakes bite, right? Even in that like seeming death blow from Satan, that Jesus, right, because that's a serpent crusher, is going to crush Satan's head. And we know that. Like, how is God going to do this? Because they had to leave, right? They had to leave. They couldn't be in the garden anymore. Now God gave them coverings, right? He covered over them. But how was God going to rescue his people? And you guys know this story. How was God going to rescue his people? Yeah, so Jesus was going to be born, right? When God became man, and he became a baby, and he lived, and he showed us what God was like, and he did miracles, and he taught. But the ultimate thing of how God was going to save us is found in one of the most famous verses of the Bible. Some of you guys have memorized it, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, or they wouldn't die, but they will have eternal life. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, that's how God was going to rescue us. But you see, there's more to this verse. Let's look at the next part of it. It says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You see, God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save them. Here's a really interesting thing. Why? Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see, God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world because here's the thing. The world already stood in condemnation. The world was already guilty. You see, before Jesus came, we were already guilty, right? Adam and Eve had sinned. Remember when we talked about that last week? You guys remember this big old bag here? Whoa! Okay. We got it, okay? And in this bag are books. And what do these books represent? Our sin. It's a record of our sin. Okay? Sin is when we say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, think the wrong thing, or fail to do the right thing, right? If I only did those four things once a day, only, by the time I'm 80, I'd have 100,000 entries in my book. I've never had a day that good in my life. And here's the thing. The Bible says that our sin stands against us. It keeps us from God. Our sins mean that we deserve death. But what did God do on the cross? All of your sins, my sins, everybody's sins were put on Jesus like they were his sin. And so when Jesus is hanging on the cross, it's like all of your sin, my sin is on him. And all the punishment for all the sin of the world He took it. That's what that picture means. See the fire? The fire represents all the punishment for everybody's sin. Now, who deserves to have that punishment come to them? Does Jesus deserve it? No, his backpack of sin was empty. Who deserves it? This dude. Us. But who's getting it? Jesus. Right? You see, in creation, we learn about when sin entered the world and how God was going to rescue the world. So how did God rescue the world? God became man, and the punishment we deserved, he took as if it was his. And for anyone and everyone that would believe in Jesus, there's no punishment left. So what does all this mean for us? Because Jesus died in our place, he took our punishment. Now, but he didn't stay dead, right? He rose from the dead, and when he rose from the dead, all the sin was gone. It wasn't there anymore. And now here's what Jesus does. See this? Jesus is reaching his hand out to you because he's dealt with your sin. He's taken the punishment that you deserve. And we all have a choice. We can say, you know what? This whole Jesus stuff, no. And if you reject Jesus, there's not a new condemnation. You already stand condemned because this is what you deserve. And so we can decide, do we choose to look at Jesus and believe in him and have him save us? Or do we say, I'm ready for it, I'll take it. And that's a choice you guys all can make. And that's a choice for everybody. Because how is somebody saved? How is somebody rescued? That we believe. Remember we talked about what does it mean to believe in Jesus? You guys remember when I had my chair out here? This cool chair that I borrowed from Rick and then I never gave it back and he told me I could keep it. I did give it back once. I did. But he did tell me I could keep it. Okay. What does it mean for us to trust Jesus? What does it mean? Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of it. Yeah, it's like if I see this chair and I look at this chair and I go, you know what? I think this chair can hold me up. How do I show my belief in the chair? How do I show my trust in the chair? I just sit in it, right? That's kind of what it means for us to become a Christian. You see, God has done the work in Jesus. He's taken your sin away. And the Bible is very clear that anyone and everyone who looks at Jesus and believes that he's taken their sin, that's how you're saved. Not by going to church, not by doing the right things, not by not doing the wrong things, not by giving a bunch of money to the poor. It's believing in Jesus. And that looks like, and is as simple as sitting in the chair that is Jesus. And when we sit in the chair that is Jesus, that allows us to rest, right? We can rest in him. Because he's trustworthy. Because he's saved us, right? That's some of the stuff that we talked about last week. But we haven't gotten to some of the new stuff yet. Because, listen, do you know that there is a new creation that's coming? Did you know that? Like, we live in a really cool, awesome world, but it's also broken. There is a new creation. I want to tell you a little bit about it, okay? And I got some pictures here. Okay, the Bible says that one day Jesus is going to come in the clouds and everybody who believes in Jesus that is still alive, guess what's going to happen? We're going to float up in the air to be with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And anybody who has believed in Jesus but who has already died, guess what? They're going to get a new body and they're going to raise to be with Jesus. And together we will be with Jesus forever. And it's in that time that we get a new resurrected body without aches and pains or sickness or cancer or Alzheimer's or any of that. It's like the first fruits of a new creation. Do you know what the Bible talks about when the new creation comes? In the book of Isaiah, it gives us a little bit about when God's new creation comes. God's going to have a new heaven and a new earth that all of God's people are going to be able to live there forever. And here's what it says, okay? Kids, look at these pictures, okay? Here's what it says. Can you see it? Am I in your way? What animal is that? And what animal is that? A lamb. Do you think this is realistic? Would this really happen? If you got a wolf and a lamb in the same room, do you think they would cuddle up together and take? You could take. No. But here, listen, listen. This is what the Bible says. In God's new forever kingdom, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with a goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. A lion and a cow together. And a little child will lead them. Isn't that cool? In God's forever kingdom, it says there's going to be peace even among the animals, and a little child can lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put its hand into the viper's nest. And they're going to be okay. Why? There will be neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, because the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In God's new creation, even the animal kingdom is restored. It's almost like we're going back to the Garden of Eden. But it's better than that. You know why? Because we'll be with Jesus forever. Because you see, when Jesus appears in the sky and everybody who's a believer that is alive raises up to meet him in the air, and everybody who's died, who's been a Christian, gets a new body, and we raise up to him in the air. This is what the Bible says in the book of Revelation. It says that when God makes a new heaven and a new earth, now there's a new creation, and here's what it says. This is what John saw. John was one of Jesus' disciples. The last book of the Bible. God gave him a big vision of what was going to happen. Here's what he said. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That's a new creation. He said the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. So here's the picture. God makes a new heaven and a new earth, and this dwelling of God comes down to be with humanity. Because there's a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. In the new creation, guys, God brings his dwelling to live with us. And here's the result of that. We will be his people. God himself will be with us, and he'll be our God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old things has passed away. And the one seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he told John, write down these words. They're trustworthy and true. It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. That's like saying I'm the A and the Z. I'm the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I will give them drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. You see, this, I love these pictures. Because this is a picture of what we have to look forward to when the dwelling of God again comes to be with humanity, where there is a new creation, where there's no sin or sickness or tears or death, and everything is perfect. Even in the animal kingdom, everything is perfect. Now, what does this mean? What does it mean that there's a new creation for us to look forward to? What does this mean for our lives? Kids, we just got a couple minutes and then we'll be heading on home, okay? What does it mean? I'm glad you're excited. I'm excited too. Number one, believe in Jesus for salvation. Kids, as you grow and you learn more about God, I want you to know that God loves you, and he loves you so much that he made a way to forgive all your sin. And as I'm saying this to the kids, I want you to know it too. Because putting your trust in Jesus to save you is the most important decision you'll ever make for all of your eternity. Because our sin really does separate us from God. We really do stand in condemnation. And the only way to be forgiven is to allow Jesus' sacrifice to be in your place. To say, Jesus, I need a Savior. I trust you to save me, and he will. And so, kids, talk to your parents about it. Adults, if you've never made that decision, if you're watching online, you've never made that decision, then you need to. What are you going to do about Jesus? What are you going to do about Jesus? Number two, set your hope on the grace to come. How many of you experience hard times in life? Anybody? Yeah, I've got a couple hands here, right? Anybody experience hard times in life? Yeah. Life is hard. It's good, right? But it's hard. And the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, it says, set your hope completely on the grace to come when Jesus returns. Remember, there's a new creation. Remember, there's a new kingdom. Peter would put it like this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And now we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us. You know, God has, He's preparing a place for us to live with Him forever. And when life is really hard, we can remember that. It's kept for us who through faith were shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In this we greatly rejoice, though now we go through... Well, it says we rejoice, though now for a little while we may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that our faith of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen Him, you love Him. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Why can we have joy in the midst of really hard things that happen? Because we are receiving the goal of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. Why can we have joy? You want to answer that question? Or do you have a question for me? Sometimes I make it yellow and white so that it highlights it for me or helps me remember. Or it was like a new one. I just don't have time to talk all about it today. That's a good question. You're going to go home in about 97 seconds. Actually, it's not a big number. A minute and a half. How's that sound? Okay, that's shorter. Oh, man. Okay, where am I at? Look, I even got to flip my notes over, so I'm almost done. Yes! That's awesome. Knowing that we have an inheritance helps us in the midst of this because we know that God is with us and He's bringing us somewhere. Last thing, live ready and waiting. How do we be ready for the new creation? Well, we live ready and waiting. Number one, God wants us to worship Him with our lives, to obey Him, to live for Him, to say no to the sinful things and yes to the good things. God wants us to love one another, right? Love God with everything, love our neighbor as ourselves, and love each other with God's love. Serve. How can you use your gifts to love and serve those around you? And the last one. Here, kids, you ready for this? You guys have some awesome news that you know. You know how somebody can spend forever with God in His perfect kingdom. You know that Jesus died and then He rose again, right? You know that?
I know that.
Good, I'm glad you know it, Jack.
I know that.
How many people in our world don't know that? How many people in our world maybe know a caricature of it, but it's not the real thing? You see, kids, here's the last thing I'll leave you with, okay? And I hope your parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and everybody here are listening too. I know, it's hot up here. So, you know the good news of how somebody can be saved. And God says, I want you to go into the world and I want you to tell people about Me. Your job is to let people know that God loves them and that Jesus died for them and that they can spend forever in the new creation when they believe in Jesus. That's your job, Jack, okay? Can you do that? Fist bump. Boom. That's our job. So, because we know that this is what's in store for us. And how many people do we know desperately need this? Yeah. A lot of people. Let's pray and then Jack will be done. Jesus, thank You for today. Jesus, thank You for the world that You've created and how it points to You. Thank You for saving us through Jesus Christ. God, thank You for the new creation to come, the inheritance that we have. God, help us to live ready and waiting and to set our hope completely on You. Jesus, I just ask for Your blessing over these kids and the others that were in VBS and their families. God, that You will bring them closer to You. those that don't know you as their Savior, that you will work in them to draw them towards you. And God, will you use us to be a salt and a light in this community, your missionaries and ambassadors in the world. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, Jack, you ready? Thank you so much for coming. You are dismissed. That means you can go, Jack. Yes. Have a great week. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Happy birthday, Pastor Adam.